This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
What's up, Hoodads? Welcome Inside Black and Gold. Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak. We've been busy with restructures, free agency signings. There's been extensions. A lot going on in the world of the Saints, including a meet and greet at the facility, which... shout out to the New Orleans organization for doing that. I don't know of how things are anywhere else, but having the whole coaching staff come in and getting to have a little mini tour kind of the cafeteria area, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, we got free lunch, which they always say there's no such thing as a free lunch, which I guess is true because we were working there, but whatever. We're going to talk about that. That's going to be the final segment. This first segment, we're going to go through a rundown of all the things that have happened for just out in front. It is noon on Tuesday. So if you are looking and saying, why are you talking about this and this and this and this and this? Take a second to say, okay, did it happen after noon on Tuesday? Because if the answer is yes, then that is your answer. Anyway, so we're going to kind of recap what has happened so far, which isn't a ton, but you know, we've got a couple signings of Saints players going elsewhere. We've got a big money extension coming in. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about all the restructures. Second segment, we're just going to do one of those things where we talk about Derek Carr for 15 to 20 minutes. Which I know everyone loves. But yeah, for a couple things out front. First, I do want to say I apologize. We didn't do an episode last week. We were initially planning to, and then I was like, it's Mardi Gras and Steve's on vacation. He's in Disney World. I'd have to do it myself, and I have to fill in on sports talk. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to take the week off. And so we did. And I think, you know, there was some stuff that happened. I kind of felt weird not putting out an episode to talk about how everyone was mad at Derek Carr for not taking a pay cut. But we can do that today. So... I enjoyed the week. Steve, I'm sure you enjoyed the week. How was Disney World?
Disney is a lot of fun. Got to check out all the parks. Anyone going, you got to get the Lightning Pass to be able to skip the lines. It's an extra fee, and it's just mandatory, though, if you don't want to wait 2.5-3 hours for rides.
My thing is, like, how valuable is your time?
Yes.
Because if you believe that your time is of value, then... whatever it costs, it's worth it. And then you can just laugh at the peasants as you walk by. I guess, suckers.
It is pretty brutal. You just, you know, you see this long line snaking out and you just walk by them like that meme of Gyllenhaal, you know, kissing and waving to everyone.
one of the reasons the line is so long is because so many people buy these lightning passes. It's like, why are we stuck in traffic right now? It's not because of the traffic. It's because of all the assholes pulling up on the right, even though they know that lane ends. And then they have to merge in, and only like 2 to 3 people can get by before someone's a coward and like, fine, go ahead. And so you're that person, but you paid for that privilege. It would be funny if they sold that on highways, that privilege on highways.
Definitely good to be back home, though, man. The food, definitely not. I was told to, you know, check out these places at Disney. Was not impressed by the food, unfortunately. The rides and everything else, good time at Mickey Land.
That's the problem. Leaving New Orleans to go anywhere, the food is not going to be better most of the time. So anyway,
even my sliders and wings were better at the Saints facility.
Right. I'm glad you had a good time. I do have one more order of business to get to before we go any further. And just like, what is, oh my God, this confetti fight and balloons. Oh my God. Thank you, StreamYard, for remembering it's my birthday today.
Oh,
how nice, Jeff, of you.
Happy birthday.
I should even load up the confetti in the cannons. How about that? Isn't that cool?
I got to remember that. You're the day before.
Oh my God, and fireworks. They brought fireworks too. Oh no, not rain. Anyway.
Not on your birthday.
Yeah, I have all these buttons I can press, so I decided, yeah, it's my birthday today. Happy birthday to me. I am doing this. That's how I'm celebrating.
Fun.
Anyway, okay. So let's do a podcast. Let's do a podcast about the Saints. We've talked about Disney World. We've talked about birthdays. We've talked about sliders and whatnot. But let's talk about free agency. And, you know, again, like I said, this first segment is just going to kind of be a rundown. We're going to be a little all over the place, but we're just going to kind of go through the things that have happened, full well knowing that the Saints have not been active in free agency, which is kind of the par for the course, but they have gotten under the salary cap. So we'll talk about that in a bit. Two guys that are gone, cornerback Paulson Adebo is headed to the Giants. Safety Will Harris headed to the Commanders. In both instances, you know, I kind of wanted the Saints to be in the conversation, but at the same time, it was like, okay, I want it to happen on my own terms. I don't want the Saints to be in the conversation if it means, hey, you're going to give Paulson Adebo a crazy contract that doesn't make sense right now. And, you know, they didn't do that. His contract with the Giants is 3 years, $54 million, which is more than it was initially reported as. It was initially reported as like $30 million, which I was like, hey, I think the Saints could have probably matched that. 54 is a different animal, and I don't know why that was the disconnect initially, but Paulson Adebo got a new home with the Giants, who are spending money like they don't expect to have draft picks.
What could that mean?
I think it's pretty obvious what that means. They're going to trade up and go get Cam Warren.
Right. With Paulson Adebo, definitely stings, considering, you know, you thought he was going to come possibly into this year as cornerback number one. Now no more Lattimore, no more Paulson Adebo. And you definitely feel like you kind of, you know, starting over at the corner spot for the Saints right now. You still obviously have a guy like Alante Taylor around and Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, I feel okay about the two guys they have. I don't know if they have a top cornerback. I don't think they do. I think they have a couple quality corners. But then I am worried about, you know, like when Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry were your depth, I felt really good about it. Now, not only are they not your depth, you don't have any depth, right? Like they are your starters and you got no one behind them. So you're probably going to have to either, the Saints, you know, sometimes they'll go out and sign a player or two. Cornerback is not typically a position you've seen them spend big on in free agency. They tend to draft that position. So maybe it's something you look at in the draft. Maybe by the time we're done recording this podcast, they'll have spent that cap space that they built on a cornerback. I don't know. But yeah,
Marjon Charles and Rico Payton, baby.
Right. Well, I actually like Rico Payton. I, it's like, I like their ability to develop young cornerbacks.
Yes.
But at the same time, it was nice to have like that set it and forget it lineup for a long time because, you know, we've seen the Saints without, we all know too well what it's like watching a team that can't defend on the edges of the field. Right. Like the Breeze era was littered with teams that could not, you know, cover anything. I was trying to come up with a clever way to say that, but I blanked on it. I almost said catch a cold, but that's a receiver. So what's a funny way to say a cornerback can't cover?
Burnt toast.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that works. It doesn't elicit that image of like a, you know, it's like a blanket with holes in it. Like, I don't know. We'll come back to that. But the guy that I think people may be even more disappointed to let get out of town, because I think a lot of people are like, okay, I like Paulson Adebo. Is he a top corner? Probably not. Would he be necessary on a team like this? It's like, probably. But do you want to pay him $15 million a year? Probably not. Will Harris, on the other hand, I feel like a lot of people are like, hey, we should be able to get him back on a similar contract to what he paid him last year. And the answer to that question was no, they could not. He went to Washington. He signed a 2-year, $8 million contract, which doesn't sound like a ton. But keep in mind, the Saints brought him in last year on a 1-year, $1.2 million contract. They brought him in on a veteran minimum contract. And, you know, I think the contract he signed is an indicator that other teams watched him play and were like, okay, it's a pretty good player. Like, this is a guy we should be willing to pay. Like, that's not necessarily, you know, fringe roster money. That's, we're going to pay this guy because we think he's going to be a part of our situation. Like, when the Saints signed him last year, it was kind of like, oh, maybe he'll make the team. You don't sign him to a 2-year, $8 million deal unless you expect them to be a part of your core defense. So I don't know. It's another situation where it's like, it's a bummer to see him get out the door, but I wouldn't have wanted to see the Saints throw an $8 million contract his way either. So it's tough.
Yeah, I thought his, you know, year here was okay, but it wasn't anything where I'm devastated that they've lost Will Harris, except for the fact that the safety position just has a lot of questions around it as a whole.
They don't have any safeties.
Right.
And who are the safeties? Like, right now it's Tyrann Mathieu and Jordan Howden, which everyone's, you know, a lot of people think Tyrann doesn't have it anymore, and I disagree with that. But what Will Harris brought was a guy who was not afraid to come up and hit and lay the wood on people. And you need that at least one of your safeties. Like, Malcolm Jenkins, I felt, was that guy for a while next to Marcus Williams, who had that in him in moments. Paulson Adebo, even, and the cornerback position, I always felt like one of his best assets was the ability to come up and hit. And I don't know if they have that anymore. Now, they're going to play a lot more zone.
Is Ugo still under contract, or is he free?
I mean, he was never on more than a 1-year deal. So, like, they could bring him back. But either way, like, the point stands. I just don't. And he's not a guy that I would say, like, he's going to come up and lay the wood on somebody. He's small. Like, I want a big, heavy duty safety who can come and hurt someone. And I don't mean that in the sense of, like, actually hurting someone, but you understand what I'm saying? Like, I want big hits out of my secondary, and I just don't see where they're coming from. Now, you're going to be playing a lot more zone defense, right? But, like, I want a Derwin James type player out there, and I don't think you have that. So I think there's another shoe to drop here somewhere.
Well, the good news is, you know, after being, you know, in the red so much, the Saints are now cap compliant heading into, you know, tomorrow's start of the league year. And we'll see if they do any other maneuvering. Some of the contract restructures we haven't heard about, anything with like a Cam Jordan, a Taysom Hill, Alvin Kamara, some of those other big names.
Yeah, well first, I do want to talk Chase Young. Chase Young, the big move they've made. So they've made two moves. They traded for Devon Godchow. Is that how you say it? Godchow? Godchow?
Godchow, yeah.
Gotcha. All right. Got you. I got you. It's Godchow. traded for Devon Godchow. You know, it's a situation that this is a guy who's started, 67 games over the last 4 years, 67 to 68 possible games. He was a key part of that rotation with the Patriots. Not a great team, obviously, but, you know, you're talking about a guy who has started a lot of games, plays a position that you need in nose tackle, and you're able to bring him in for what I would argue is the most minimal asset that you could possibly, like, you have to trade something to call it a trade, right? You can't just say, I'm trading you, like they talk about, like, a bag of balls, right? Like, that's like, you have to trade something. Like, I guess you could probably just trade cash, but the Saints aren't exactly a cash rich team, so they're not going to ever be the team that's trading cash. So you trade a 7th round pick 2 years from now for a guy that's about the minimum you could possibly give up and still call it a trade. So I feel like that's a pretty good deal to get a guy who's proven in the league for basically nothing, and all you have to do is pay him.
That one was, I mean, a head scratcher for me on the Patriots part. That's like, do they know something we don't know about Godchow?
I think they're just kind of rebuilding that situation around Mike Vrabel, and he didn't, maybe he doesn't fit what he wants to do, and he right. fits what the Saints need to do. So kind of, that's just a win-win.
It just seemed odd to me, just the seventh rounder. To me, Godshaw's definitely worth more than that.
So yeah, I think I like
this deal for the Saints, obviously.
I think it was a situation where they were like, we're going to cut him because he makes too much money and we don't really have a use for him. Okay, let's call around and see if anyone wants him. And if anyone, what will you give us? Okay, that's more than nothing. So we'll take that. I think that's how that goes.
Sold, baby, right.
But Chase Young, on the other hand, three-year deal, which three-year contracts are kind of the new thing in the NFL. Like, everyone's signing everyone to three-year contracts. The Saints have been here for a while. I think one of the reasons it's becoming more popular is because you can only prorate a signing bonus over 5 years. So if you sign someone to a five-year contract, you're prorating that over those years. If you sign someone to a three-year contract, you can add two void years and prorate it over that. And I think that's why more teams are starting to do what the Saints do and take advantage of void years for these crazy contracts, because you couldn't sign these crazy contracts. You couldn't pay Myles Garrett $40 million a year without...
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Void years. Anyway. So Chase Young, 3 years, it's $51 million contract worth a maximum of $57 million, $17 million annually. I think it's a good deal for the Saints. I think Chase had a better year than people give him credit for, because they came in with probably unreasonable expectations of like, he's going to get 20 sacks. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. He ended up with 5.5 sacks. He was tied with Carl Granderson for second on the team behind Brian Brzee. I think the Saints' bigger issue last year was stopping the run.
Yes.
And you're not going to get 15, 20 sacks unless you get teams into obvious passing situations all the time. And the Saints weren't getting teams in obvious passing situations ever. And I put that more on the interior line than anything else. But regardless, I think a $17 million contract for a 25-year-old edge rusher who's entering his prime, and you could end up in a situation where that contract feels like a steal 2 years from now if he continues to kind of get what he needs to in that Brandon Staley defense. I think it's a good deal. I would have been disappointed if he went somewhere for less than that, because it would have been an indicator the Saints didn't even try to bring him back. And I think he is a talented player, and you want
to, or that he didn't want to be here, but that's clearly not an issue.
Yeah. I think he does want to be here.
Right.
I'd be surprised if he didn't have any interest on the open market. And the timing of this deal would indicate that, you know, like if you got it done earlier in the week, that would be like, hey, he didn't even wait, right? Like Zach Bond signing with the Eagles. Like, he didn't even wait to talk to other teams before signing that deal with the Eagles. And Zach got like the exact same contract at the linebacker position. Like, I think they paid Zach Bond 3 years, $51 million, something in that range. So waiting to do it until yesterday, I think, was a sign that Chase was like, all right, I want my agent to go around and see if anyone's willing to blow this deal out of the water.
Yeah.
And I think that the answer was no. And so he comes back and signs it with the Saints. And I think it's a win-win, and in part because if Chase had gone and signed elsewhere, his contract would have voided and you would have been on the hook for $9 million in dead money that you can now push forward and account for in other ways. So it was kind of a, you know, there was kind of a $9 million incentive, like whatever you pay, you can kind of count that against the cap this year and push that money forward. So, you know, it's whatever it's a charge against the cap this year, you can actually eliminate $9 million from what it would have been. So I don't know. I think it's a good deal personally.
Still a head scratcher though, that Chase Young is just 25 years old. It feels like he's been around way longer than that. My only real issue is kind of like a Brian Brazee. I like him as a pass rusher and putting pressure on the other team, but against the run, I just don't feel like Chase Young's been very good.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they use him.
Yeah.
And because he's never really played as an outside linebacker. I think he did minimally on Steve Wilks' defense with the 49ers for that half a season he spent out in San Francisco. So I just don't know how they're going to deploy him. Now, I don't think your edge players, your outside linebackers, are as important against the run as they would be in a 4-3. So I think that does take some of that off, right? And, you know, I do think one of the reasons, you know, we talked to Brandon Staley, and I want to get more into Brandon Staley in the final segment. We talked about the coaches, but like one thing he talked about was like, hey, you know, oh, are you committed to a 3-4 or 4-3? He was like, I'm committed to doing whatever the players on the team can do.
Right. Let's see who's right on the roster first.
Yeah. And I do think that that's one of Brandon's strengths, is that he is versatile and his defense can do a lot of different things. It's one of the things that works against him at times because it gets a little too complicated. But I do think that he's more than willing to adjust his scheme to suit a player's strengths. And that was something that DA never did to a degree that was excruciating, because it was like, I think Zach Bond can contribute. You just got to find a way to get him on the field. Never did. Caden Ellis, same way. You know, so we'll see. But either way, that's the one big deal the Saints have inked so far. And, you know, it's an important position. Like, I don't think you're going to get better without talented edge rushers. And you got one.
You got to hope that, obviously, we haven't seen the ceiling from Chase Young. And like I said, just 25 still, still a hell of a lot more I expect from him. And you consider last year, he was coming back from that neck surgery. Right. Just looking forward to another year of him in black and gold. And yeah, the going rate for, you know, defensive ends, outside linebackers in the NFL right now is pretty exorbitant. So not a bad deal for the Saints here.
Yeah, the top of the market is set at $40 million a year.
Hello.
That's crazy. Like, Chase Young is making defensive tackle money, right? Like, he's 20. That contract is tied for 26 with Ed Oliver from the Bills.
Wow.
Right? Miles Garrett is making twice that. Max Crosby is making twice that. I would be more concerned about the deal if we were coming off a season where Chase was on the injury report every week. He missed three games. He was battling through injuries. Like, because that's been a thing for him throughout his career, his injuries. And he actually had a very injury-free season. You know, you knock on wood, but like that was a big question mark. Like, there's a reason that he signed a one-year $13 million contract with all of these gameplay incentives that he got every single one. Now, I would have preferred if they had included incentives in this deal a little bit more, because I think, hey, why do you think he played in all 17 games? You know, so I don't know. I think it would have been smart to try to include that, but, you know, it's not a crazy deal. And so I'm okay with it.
I think, too, the most impressive play for me from him last year, I know you're going to know where I'm going here. Not
any of the sacks. On the field late.
Yeah, it was like, what? What just happened?
I don't even know if that's impressive, more so than it was just kind of funny, because it's like, you know, it's like a little trick play almost. But, you know, he made some nice plays that like kind of get forgotten. He would have had a 90-yard scoop and score if not for Carl Granderson knocking the ball away from against the Cowboys. Like, there were nice moments, but it kind of got overshadowed by the ugliness of that season.
Right.
And so I wanted to keep him around. I think the number is reasonable. We can do that. Just kind of going forward, let's talk about the restructures. So we didn't really talk about Derek Carr yet. We'll talk about it a lot in the second segment. So we don't really get into a ton of it here, but the Saints did restructure that contract. I don't have a ton to say about it in the sense that I've been saying that was going to be the case for a while now. So I'm not going to suddenly be mad about it. But they've also restructured Eric McCoy, Carl Granderson, Cesar Ruiz, DeMario Davis, which is a little surprising to me, Pete Werner, and Colin Saunders. As of 12:30 on Tuesday, the Saints have cleared about $15.8 million in cap space beyond the cap. So they started $50 million over. They are now just under $16 million beneath the cap. So that's money they can use. And to me, that indicates that there's a signing coming, because I don't think you would clear that much space unless you had a plan to use it. So like, keep that in mind. But, you know, it's kind of the process we thought. The only surprise to me was DeMario Davis, in the sense that you probably didn't have to do it. But I think it's telling that they are committed to DeMario in this defense. And so, you know, he wants to play longer than LeBron. So I guess their plan is for him to do that here.
Yeah. I'm just curious, are we going to get anything reworked with a Cam Jordan or a Taysom Hill to get some more cap space available right now?
Yeah. I mean, you don't need it right now.
Right.
You know, so I always kind of felt like a pay cut is something that you're not trying to rush. If I'm taking a pay cut, if I'm a player and you're coming to me and saying, I want you to take a pay cut, my one thing is I'll think about it, but I also want to know, what are you going to do with this money if I'm giving it back to you? Like, I'm not just giving you my money that I do not have to give you. The Saints are not in a position where cutting Taysom Hill or Cam Jordan, really the only two players, because Derek Carr did not take a pay cut, really the only two players that you're in a position to even ask, because Tyrann Mathieu and DeMario took pay cuts last year. So, like, I think if I'm trying to get a guy to take a pay cut, I want to be able to at least say, like, we are asking you to take a pay cut
to get so-and-so.
So we can do this.
Right.
Right. So we can make things better around you, and we have a better chance to win because of XYZ. Right. Doing it prior to even free agency opening is like, we need you to take a pay cut because you're not worth it. You know what I mean? So that's why I always felt like that was going to happen later in the process if it happens. And we'll see. I think Taysom Hill is probably more likely to take a pay cut. Whereas Cam, I don't know. I think that'll come down to what you commit to him on paper of like how you're going to use him. But either way, you know, you're in a position now where you can make moves without having to worry about that. And then maybe that's something that's like, hey, we need to sign our draft picks. How are we going to do that? The other thing that happened is the Saints extended Nathan Shepard, which cleared a little bit of space. He was going to count $7 million against the cap this year. So I don't know what the new number is, but you do that, you extend him a year so that you can push that cap out over a couple more seasons.
I wasn't crazy about that one just because the interior of the D line has been an issue, and I don't necessarily understand extending him just to free up some money.
Well, I mean, I do think that what these decisions are telling you is that they feel like with the new scheme you're bringing in, you're going to solve a lot of these problems with that. Like, I think what's being kind of projected is that the team believes that scheme was a bigger issue than talent in terms of stopping the run. And you're going to throw more bodies at the problem in this scheme, and that should solve things. I don't know if I buy that. I would have liked to see them kind of rebuild that defensive interior a lot more than we are seeing. And hey, they may go and draft, you know, two blue chip defensive linemen, and suddenly it's like, well, they are rebuilding it. Just, you know, the players that you're adding, you're extending, are depth pieces. But no, I agree with you. I was kind of hoping for more of an overhaul than we're seeing.
Maybe we can get something more out of Christian Boyd this year.
Yeah, no, I mean, he does profile as a nose. He needs to put on some weight. You know, that's the biggest difference, in my opinion, of like a nose tackle versus a three technique, is like you need to just kind of be a tree stump in the middle of that line. And they don't really have anybody like that. But he does kind of profile as that. He has the traits to do that. I don't know. Colin Saunders is another interesting guy. He's kind of more of a bowling ball type player. He's a guy who's always going to want to get up field a little bit more. But, you know, that's one of the interesting restructures to me, because I don't think you had to restructure Pete or Colin. Now, Pete makes sense in the perspective of we signed him to an extension. We want to keep him around.
Yeah.
Colin, I feel like you could have moved on from. Like, there was really nothing preventing you from just saying, okay, we're going to cut you. We're going to save, you know, not a ton, but it's not going to hurt us. And instead, they restructured him to save $1.9 million against the cap, which is to me more of a statement that they, you know, they like how he fits in this new scheme. So I don't know. Again, it's going to be difficult to know what to expect until we see how they deploy these guys. What's the scheme that Brandon is running? But it's not making anyone happy. Like the Saints, you got to give them credit for being consistent, because one thing they almost never seem to do is what the fans want. Like, you know, and to be fair, you shouldn't. That's not how you should make your decisions. Like, if you were a front office with any cojones whatsoever, you should not be like, well, they don't like Derek Carr, so we can't bring him back. Like, that can't be why you make roster decisions. So now the problem is they don't seem to be right either. Like, you can get away with doing unpopular things as long as those unpopular things turn out to be the right thing. But the problem is so many of these unpopular decisions also seem to end up being the wrong decision. And that's just a recipe to be hated. So I don't know. Like Howie Roseman has balanced that, where he finds ways to do exactly what the fans want, but also the right thing at the same time. And so he's a hero, you know?
Even though he's taking beer cans to the forehead.
Well, I mean, they love him so much that they just had to throw beer at him, because they were like, Howie, I love you. Take a beer. And he just can't catch, apparently. I don't know if he was looking. I don't think it was malicious.
Right.
People just wanted to give him a beer so bad that they threw it at him when he wasn't even paying attention. So that is what it is.
Yeah. Who knows what they'll be throwing at Mickey?
Not beer. At least not unopened cans of beer. Maybe they'll throw their own beer. Anyway, that's it. That's free agency to this point. I think a lot's going to change. You know, I just tweeted this. Like, I don't think you would have freed up $16 million ahead of March 12th unless you were trying to get something done. So by the time you listen to this podcast, something significant might have happened. Right now, we're kind of in the middle ground. But you got something?
No, just curious. There's some guys out there that possibly could be back, like a Juwan Johnson. Haven't heard any really rumblings on him in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, we've heard that this could be some interest out there. You know, he's kind of like Chase Young in the sense that if you extend him, you can avoid $6 million in dead cap charges this year. So there's some incentive there to get it done. I kind of think he will be back. Either way, we'll see. Let's close this segment off. We're going to come back. Let's talk more about Derek Carr, what Kellen Moore had to say about that situation. What are our thoughts on the Saints sticking with Derek Carr? All that good stuff. This is Inside Black and Gold. I'm Jeff Nowak. He is Steve Geller. Stick around.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words. I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.